change some things. And so it's only because I wanted to. So now I'm not saying, I do feel that some of these are not good for the children nor for the parents. Because my philosophy as an old maid is that if I were a parent, I would wish in my heart that I could train them young so that when they got to those 12-year-old, even 10-year-old, there were things that they would know that would make them a very acceptable person to the family and to others around them. But sometimes we get the philosophy, and sometimes it's a cultural philosophy. You know, we don't discipline children. You don't try to teach them much until their teacher does. And then they go to school, and wow, they have their problems. But anyhow, I want to talk about four types of parenting and what comes out of some of these. One of them, because when you parent your children, they come out differently. They come out differently. Now, there was a period of time when domineering parents were the parents. My day, I didn't talk back to my mother on the outside. Inside, plenty. But on the outside, no. We knew that if we did, we were in big trouble. And then, so therefore, and years ago, that was almost the norm of the home. It was domineering. They were over-controlling many times. And this also is even today, maybe not as much, but it's still here, for those who over-control. Now, you know what over-controlling is, don't you? That means that they have to do everything as you want it to be done. It's almost like you're wanting to clone them, make them what you want them to be. Many times when they are over, when there is a domineering parent or parents, because usually if there's a domineering parent, the other parent is far too meek to be able to have any control over those that are domineering. So usually, maybe if the wife is domineering, the husband's a very quiet, submissive man. And on the other hand, if the husband's father's domineering, what happens to the children? Well, the children will do what they have to do because they're fearful, and they don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to get punished. So what happens to them when they get of an age, when they're beginning to find themselves, when their vocabulary is big enough, when their self-confidence is big enough, or when they just about had all they can take? Many of them rebel. And so it just seems to go together. Maybe the rebellion is not even seen in the home, but as they get out, they begin to rebel. There's a lot of kids that go into different things because they're going to show their father that they can do it. They rebel. Not only that, when parents are controlling, we're not flexible. Now, I'm not talking about spineless. Spineless is when you can't stand up for anything. Flexible can come in with the word teachable. It means that what I think is not in concrete. Now, you say people are like, oh, yes, there's lots of people that what they think is almost like it's in concrete. They're not going to change for anyone. And so many times, this is the way the parents are. So when a young person gets to the place where it's just an innate thing within them, they want to make some choices. They want to be able to expand their own thinking, their own creativity. And when they have parent or parents that are not flexible at all. You know, there's sometimes when we talk about parenting is like you hold them down, you work with them, you teach them. As they go to school, you have to lift up a little bit. Then when they get into that fifth and sixth grade where they know everything, you know, where they're learning all this and the teacher knows everything and you don't know anything. And then when they get in their teens, the pressure more and more is taken off. So that means that you and I must have within us a flexible spirit. You know, when parents are perform-oriented. Now, when I used to teach mothers, there are five different kinds of mothers we used to talk about. And one of them was a credit card mother. Now, the credit card mother was the one that kept down everything she did so you pay her back when you got old. You know anybody like that? They just have a way of saying, I did this for you, now you must do this for me. You know, that type of thing. And so many times when parents are performance-oriented, is another kind. This is the kind where I have my life planned for my children. Now, some of us came up poor. I didn't know I was poor. Honestly, I didn't, because everybody's poor. So nobody called us poor. And but I realize now I grew up poor. And so many times when your parents were poor, it's not only in China and Taiwan. My father worked for, I think, before he got on WPA, hardly anything, maybe $7 a week. When my father was married, he worked for $12 a week. Oh, you say the Americans always had money. No, we didn't. Isn't that right? We didn't always have money. And so many parents during that time see the advantage of getting their child an education, getting them pushed up in a profession where they can climb up. So in their mind, they say, my child's not going to be like me. I'm going to make them so that they have money and prestige and power. So here comes a child. And that child is an individual. Now, that child, you have to understand, has limits. Did you know your child has limits? Sometimes I think we don't understand they have limits. And then they have powers to excel in some things. So when we're dealing with this kind of person, and yet we put into them, you must be an engineer. You must be a doctor. You must be this. You must be a banker. So we push them. First, with their studies. Here comes a little, usually not when they're little. They like to do pretty good, you know. I mean, they're really having learning problems when they have them in first and second, third grade. And they usually like to achieve. But then when they get to the fourth grade, that was my Waterloo. Do you know, back then, I don't know what it is now, but the fourth grade was when you took all of these basics, your phonics, your writing, your arithmetic, your little experiences, what they give you in social studies. Now you have to put them together to use all of them in your studies now, because now you have history and science and English and, you know, that kind of thing. And for some children, when they hit that grade, it is difficult. They just have to get the hang of how they can take what they've learned and now use what they've learned. And not all children that comes easy to. There are different kinds of learning patterns in the lives of people. There are those that can learn by sight, those that can abstract, that's what I want. See, I'm getting to the age now where all my abstracts are going into the north and west and things. So whenever I don't say it, just fill it in. And some are abstract and they can just grasp hold of that and go. Others can't. I don't understand this. Well, I'll tell you the truth. I never understood math. I never understood how I had to know why a car went this far and why I had to know. No, I didn't understand that kind of, never did. You could teach me now, I think. But I'm just saying they learn differently. But no, we get them to the place where we press them and push them. And, you know, in Taiwan, I'm not so familiar with China's young people, but in Taiwan, I remember a boy telling me, he said, when I was in high school, I had bleeding ulcers. Now, bleeding ulcers isn't a high school disease. Bleeding ulcers is when you worry and the acid burns in. When you drink, it's a type of illness that is not a high school illness. But that boy was under so much pressure. And he's not the only one. Some of them have gone far further than that. They killed themselves. I can't make it. What's life? The pressures. You know how you feel when you're pressed. You know, sometimes I told the young people this morning, I preached over there. I said, I'm not a person that thinks you have an easy life. Parents do. You parents think that this is the best years of their life. This is the easiest time. It's not the easiest time. These young people are facing things that I never had to face. These young people are under pressures that I never was under. And because of that, many of them are far more serious, far more upset, far more problems in their heart and lives than you'll ever know unless they open up to you. But anyhow, what I'm saying is, and I wished I could don't get on one thing so much and keep going. Dorothy said one time I gave them But God and I preached an hour. So sometimes I get on one thing and keep going. Just push me along. Children become fearful of failure. They shouldn't. Failure is part of life. Failure is part of experience. But when we make our children feel, when you fail, you're so stupid, you're so dumb. Why would you do something? I told you to study. I told you to turn that television off. Get rid of that game. You know, we really make it a big thing. When what failure can be is something that says, okay, you didn't do well, now get up and start. But they become so fearful of it that it drives them. They're really very fearful. Sometimes children, because of a domineering parent, becomes underachievers. They can't make it. Then you have those that become overachievers because they've been driven and pushed, and they've been under the pressure of it, but they've had that ability and that learning power to be able to be overachievers, not because of you. Not because you've driven them, but because there's something in them that can truly push a little further. Endurance. Do you think young people have endurance? No. Young people don't have much endurance. You give a young boy a cut grass, mower. You give him the mower. He first looks at it and he thinks, boy, this is going to be fun. You know, daddy does this all day. You know, they get started. Mm-hmm. They get one road down, another road. Gets hot. The thing gets harder to push. They got to get a little closer, and soon they come in. Mom, I can't make it anymore. I'll do the rest of it later. Yeah. Where daddy's tired too, but he has the endurance to keep going. Young people don't have that many times, unless it's worked into their lives. Let's see. When parents are critical, then our children become sensitive to criticism, and they become critical. And this comes from a domineering parent. Because usually when people are hard and rigid, they're also critical. Because they're judgmental. Oh, that God would save us from being judgmental. I never wonder why we feel like we have something in us that can judge others. Because God said we can't. But they become judgmental. And the parents and the children many times become bitter in these domineering parent homes. Well, let's go on to the next one. The next one is to the other side of the pendulum. It's the doting parent. They control their feelings. They don't want anything to touch their child. It's when parents are overprotective. Now, I really don't know what is worse, being domineering or overprotective, but I'll tell you, overprotection is really bad. Because once they leave your home, they are not qualified for life. They don't know how to face life because they've been so overprotected. That's why many of them get into things and They can't make it. They can't keep a job. They feel everybody's against them. They don't know how to keep their bills going because they're overprotected. Then children become what we call spoiled. I don't know why they call it spoiled, but anyway, they become rotten. And maybe that's what they mean. But they want everything their own way. Everything centers around them, you know. I want this, I want that, I want the other thing. And more than that, they just feel in control, the children do. And when the children are in control, you're out of control. And this is what happens. Parents yield to their pressures. Now, like I've said many, many times, children are little lawyers. They know how to twist you all. They know how to manipulate. They know how this, my mother is a doting mother, and she'll say to me, and I say to her, Mom, can I have that candy? I want that candy. No, you can't have it before supper. Oh, Mom, I want some. I feel so hungry, and that candy looks so... I told you, you have to wait for supper. Oh, Mom, I want that candy. They look at you sensitively. Well, probably one won't hurt. And they give you the candy. So you have learned from experience that if I keep at them, they're going to give it to me. You know? That's what happens with these doting parents. They become manipulative. The children become manipulating. They manipulate you. So they say, here they come. Mom, I love you. You're the best mom in the world. Mom, can I have a dollar to go to McDonald's? Very, very manipulating. They know how to do it. That may be not, it's just one of those things. See, you see, parents like that that dote on the children, in a sense, all they want is harmony in the home. No fighting, no pressure, no training. Just let them have their way and let's keep things, you know, but it doesn't last. That's a very poor way of trying to keep harmony because our children stop respecting us. They disrespect us. And I want to tell you, in love of any type of relationship, when a person stops respecting you, they stop caring about you. Respect is one of the center parts of love as far as a husband and wife. It's not the passion, it's not the good feeling, but it's when they respect you and you respect them, and that helps to grow in the unity and the oneness that you need. Respect is very vital. And when your child loses respect for you, honey, it's going to take a while and a lot of doing to get it back. When parents, they're always rescuing. My grandmother, my mother had come from a strong family. They were from the British Isles and I think Scotland or Welsh. And so one time my uncle, he was a grown man. I mean, he must have been in the late teens or something. He was out and I think he shot someone. And here the police came down. No, maybe he didn't shoot one. They probably would have taken him. But anyhow, he did something wrong. And here he's walking down with a policeman because we were very friendly with policemen back then. And my grandmother went up there, snatched him away, and she said, I'll take care of him. And took him away from the police. But I think she probably did take care of him. But what I'm saying is when we cover up for our children, when we never let them feel consequences, when we never let them feel what it feels like to fail, when we never let them feel like it was to do something wrong and I have to pay for it, we've done them great harm. Because what we have done, we have taken all the way the fact that I have to stand on my own two feet. And that's one thing we have to teach our children somewhere along the line. So that is a doting parent. And you know, when parents are too helpful, children become helpless. They're controlling, they're manipulating, and they're helpless. Lots of things they can't do. When they go away from college, they're lost. One boy in our school had to wash his clothes. He went and got all of them, his white clothes, his shirts, and his everything, put them in, put it, the powder, like you said, put the bleach in. Can you imagine what his clothes looked like when they came out? His pants, his shirts, when he put bleach in. Why? He didn't know what he was doing. Why? Because no one taught him. No one taught him the responsibility of taking care of himself. Well, let's go on and see what we have here with the next one. We talked about the doting one. Then we talk about another one is dependent, when our child becomes dependent on us, okay? We control their behavior and their feelings. This becomes when parents are possessive. Possessiveness is something that is really hard on you and hard on the others that you're possessive of. And so when we're so possessive, our children become fearful because they don't know how to stand. When parents are the ones that manipulate now, not the children. We're manipulating them until they have to depend on us. We're manipulating them until they do what we want them to do. Not by teaching, but by making them in a sordid way to do what you want. So the parents become manipulative. Children become deceitful because they've got to get around parents somehow. They're not allowed to. So if they want anything, they learn how to deceive their parents. Then we see parents become suspicious of everything. Anybody that is trying to keep somebody as your dependent, you become suspicious of everything, of what they do, of who they meet, who they talk to, who they see, what they're doing, who's trying to help them. You become very suspicious. The children learn how to become jealous. They learn how to become jealous of each other and jealous of anybody who gets your attention and anybody they think is before you, before them. So when we try to make them dependent, those that are trying to make their children, we're very inconsistent. Only when we want to bring them to our behavior do we do certain things, but other times we let it go. Children become indecisive. They don't know how to make decisions. Boy, when you go into life not knowing how to make decisions, you're really handicapped. When you've been so dependent on mom. I know a family that until he left Taiwan, and he was married, he slept with his mother. Very dependent on her. He came here to the United States some, I guess, 15 years now, 17. He's a whole different man. His family is a wonderful family. God pulled him from that family because he was called for the Lord's work. And then he learned how to be dependent on God, not on his mother. Children become passive when their parents shows them and does everything for them and makes them what you want them to be. They just say, oh, okay, I can play my computer. I can do this. What does it matter, you know? This is what happens with that. There are the detached parents. There are more of those than you think. We live on Jupiter. We live not about a mile from Jupiter Island. That's where 27% of all the wealth in the United States used to be. All the old names of the rich lived there. It was a very outstanding place to live. And when you see some of them, they are so detached from their parents. They go to visit them. But you can sense, I have a friend that works over there. She tells me about some of the experiences she have. These women and the mothers and fathers who live their lives in social things, or that live their lives in their careers, and their children were brought up by nanas. Their children after a while became just a latchkey child, come home from school, open the door, and then do what they please during that time, they become very detached to their parents. And when that happens, there is nothing between them. There is nothing between them. Parents become apathetic. They don't, go ahead, if you want to do that. Oh, you like, here's the money. Or you want to do that. There's no boundaries for them. So the children become very self-sufficient. You say, what's wrong with that? Well, when it becomes self-sufficient to the place that you think about no one else but yourself, that's bad. And that's what happens to these children. Parents are uninvolved in their life. That's why it's so important to be involved in your children's lives. Some children hardly know their father. Some of them now hardly know their mother. You know, I have seen grandparents that have helped raise up children that when the mother goes back, the child doesn't even want the mother. There's been such a detachment from them. These children become rebellious. They do what they please. They become usually underachievers because now they have no one to guide them, no one they feel responsible for, no one that is saying, come on, and encouraging them as a coach would. They don't have that. The parents lack boundaries. They give them no boundaries. I remember a long time ago, one of the girls in our church, she was living with her grandmother. She was a teenager, and her friend came, and they wanted to go out somewhere. And so they asked the grandmother, can we go? And she said, no, I can't let you go there. And the girl, of course, got upset. You know how they do. She got upset, and she was going on. The other girl said, I wish my mother cared enough for me to not let me go. That's what the teen said. There are children that know their parents don't care enough to put them in boundaries. And that makes the children really very insecure. Now let me talk to you about a more positive way. At least we feel it's more positive. And I think you would understand as we've been talking together. We have to understand the goal of our parenting is to develop character in my children. Not develop higher education at this time, but from the start, I want to develop character in my children. And it would do you good to get yourself a nice little character chart, a list of things that we need to teach character to our children. But actually, what it is love. Well, you say, I know that. But let me tell you, not gooey, smushy kind of love, not the love that gives in, but the love that cares. The love that says, God gave me this child and I'm going to do my very best. I will not be perfect. There's none of you, sorry to tell you now, none of you that's perfect. You're not going to be a perfect parent. They've not found them yet, I don't think. But I'm going to do my very best. I'm going to teach my child to have a character that when others see him and when God uses him, it's something real in my child. And I'm going to do that out of love. And love is spelt discipline. What does God do to us? He disciplines us. He loves us. Oh, he gives us the wonderful times. Someone said, Sister Schwartz, I'd like to go with you shopping because the Lord always gives you a good parking place. I thank the Lord for that. Many times I pray, he's given me a good parking place. You say, that's not the Lord. Well, I tell you, it's been awful many times, and I really thank the Lord for it. There are many blessings he gives me to show me his love, but there have been times that he has disciplined me until my heart felt like it would break, until I wept on the floor, telling him, oh, God, you've got to help me through this. Help me as you show me it's wrong. Help me. That's love. Love is when it can give the good and the kind and the gentle, that which your child knows is real, but also can bring down and tell them, this is the way God wants us to live. This is what we must learn. Not only that, we find that in that love comes security. Security for your child. Fathers are the biggest part of the security for their child. They've proven that. When they have a good relationship with daddy, they feel very secure. It's something about it only God knows, because of the man's strength or whatever it is, or because God made it that way, but it helps. So you as husbands and fathers are your children's greatest part of security. When they're sick, they don't want you, they want mommy. But when they're scared, they want daddy. When things are hard, they're a bit fearful, they want my daddy. Want my daddy. Then we have the fact that when parents are encouraging, now there is a difference between driving and encouraging. Driving is when I made up my mind that this horse is going the way I want it. Oh, you say you're talking about children. That's right. This child is going to go the way I want it, but it's about the same thing. So I'm going to push them and I'm going to drive them. But that isn't the way. It's encouraging. It means that if I want my child to be a doctor, I may, and when they're little, I may get them books about doctors, about nurses. I might get them a little kit about a nurse or a doctor's kit. I may take them some time and show them what the hospital is like. And after I've encouraged all of that, they say, I want to be a chef. What do I do? Well, you know what? Some chefs make more than doctors. So what we do then, and I've talked about this with the ladies, is that we watch our children. And as they grow older, they begin to have tendencies to like certain things. And when you see that maybe some of them are liking science a little more, then I encourage them. I do everything I can to lead them that way. And when we do that, we have a child that feels secure. And though they may never become a chef, and they may become a doctor, at least they've done it because of your encouragement, and they've decided on their own. Not only that, when parents are comforting, I don't really know, and it's just me. My mom and dad never yelled. God bless them. My father, I don't know, I don't think he ever disciplined me but once in his life. But I'm just saying, I didn't live in a home where it was loud. I enjoy that. That's why I can't hardly take it now. When there's yelling, I'm gone. I'm out of there. And so actually, when we are a place where we are comforting, though there's times because of your personality and your weaknesses or you're just that way, you find out I am that way. But that's when I learn how to, Lord, help me to temper that. This is all a part of life. This is how we grow. This is how we challenge ourselves all down through life. Even my age, I'm still challenging myself. So we see that as we learn to comfort, there's every once in a while, children must have a gentle voice. They must. I had a friend. She can't talk gentle. It just doesn't seem to work with her children. God put me in that family from the time before their children were even born. And I have worked closely with that family, and I am the gentle voice in the family. When I go there, I'm Nana. I'm the one that is kind and gentle. I've learned with little babies, you don't jump at them. You know, ah, ha, ha. You just go quietly to them, you know. They love that gentle spirit. And so whenever we can, we should be people that can comfort our children. And when we do, our children become compassionate. They learn how to comfort others. And this is wonderful. When parents are really sincere, don't hide things, don't try to make things and cover them up. Sincere before, I'm not telling, you don't have to tell them what you make. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. My mother and dad never told me. I never knew in all my life until they were, until after I was old, what my mother and father made. So I'm not talking about the finances. I'm not talking about things like that. I'm just saying that we're being very honest in how we deal with them, what we say. They know they can trust us. They know they can believe us. When parents are, and our children will be honest too. When parents are teaching, children become wise. And I believe that. I believe as you teach, they begin to take in that wisdom. When a home is loving, when a home has some sense of comfort to it, when it has some sense of security, this is the biblical way. This is a more of a positive way than the other ways that I have spoken to you about. Now, these are basically the four types of parenting that they have studied and that they see what comes out of them. So now, as you think them over, most of you have probably gone through your days of parenting, and you can pretty well see, maybe I was this kind, maybe I should have done better. But that's not any good, because you can't go back. We only start from today. So you have grandchildren. Then help the grandchildren. Love them, show them, be with them, teach them. Let them know, you know, and this is another area. But I trust that you get something out of this. Anyone have a question? Comment? Sometimes I feel like maybe I don't teach well enough for you to even get a question. Well, it's really...
So the last one is the positive parent, right?
Yes.
And you said that we need to build a developed character. Mm-hmm. So you repeat, just to highlight the few things we need to do with love. You said something, discipline.
You know...
We develop the children's with love.
You know, love is an action verb. It's not just a verbal verb where we are conversational thing. Just say, I love you. Love is just part of you that cares for that child. Now, there's some of us that don't know how to love. We don't understand love. We've never been loved. So it's very hard for us then to be able. But that's where we ask God to help. You see, when we recognize that there's some things that I don't have, then that's when I go to God and ask him to help us. And so as you cultivate that love for them, it means I care for that child and I will, by God's grace, make it a worthy person in life. And so if that means that I'm going to show them times of gentleness, times of kindness, but I'm also going to direct them in learning and teaching them, and maybe even tools that we use, we might have to punish them. They have to understand. Now, my child must understand that when you do wrong, there's a consequence. Because when I get in life and I go to work and I do wrong at work, there's going to be a consequence. Either I'm going to get fired, or if I've stole something, I'm going to jail. You see, but if your child doesn't learn that. So all of these things are things that that we sort of, in our own self, through our love, want our child to learn. That's why I said, get yourself, maybe I can get a chart. I'll try to remember a chart that gives us, there's many, many character traits that will help you in this kind of thing. Now, next week, for the next few weeks, I have a program that shows children misbehaving, and children how they should behave. So I'm going to be bringing that, Lord willing, so that you can look at it, and you can decide on how would we work this problem out. So I'm going to try next when I can to get this thing prepared, which hopefully is next week. So come back. That's the bell for food. You better hurry because this is potluck. And potluck, they don't always have a whole lot, so you better hurry. Take care, and God bless you. Thank you for that.
Thank you. You too. Oh, it's only God that helps me. You know, we're so many times.